Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate it. I will certainly concur with what was said about the men's meeting. It seems like so many times the Lord just continues to bless and to open our eyes to help us to grow, remind us that we're not there yet, but that He's faithful, and we just need to keep looking to Him. And I appreciate especially what was said about how easy it is to suppose as we gain experience that we got it handled. But it is exactly what was said, that it's the opposite of, okay, I've got it now, I've learned the ropes, I've learned the, you know, the ideas that go along with how to live the Christian life. It never gets to a point where we're not totally dependent. And if we're really learning, we're learning how to be dependent and how to let go, rather than how to, okay, I got it now. And the Lord is so faithful. Well, I've had a lot of thoughts, and again, it seems like the Lord has not allowed me to pull them together and make a nice little tight outline. So I'm just going to trust the Lord to say what He wants to say, to emphasize what He wants to emphasize. But my mind has gone this week to scriptures in Psalm 37, a very familiar scripture. And this was a psalm of David. I believe it's plain that he wrote this when he was older. This was not something he wrote in the middle of all of the battles that he fought as a young man, but this was something that as a much older man, a much more mature man, he was looking back. I expect this was probably even after the incident, the business with Bathsheba and the sin and the repentance. But here is David as an old man, and how do I know that, by the way? He says later in the passage, he's talking about the Lord's faithfulness. He says, I've been young, and I am now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So I think it's safe to say that David was an old man when he wrote this. And so he was looking at life. He was looking at his own life. There's obviously an element of testimony, but there's an element here of teaching and instructing based upon his own experience with God. And, of course, he's reckoning on the fact that we live in a messed up world where things aren't always the way we think they should be. It's a godless world. It's a world where men are seeking their own way and they have their own ideas about what life is about. We've said these things many times. And here he is talking to believers, those who could hear his words, and trying to encourage us how to handle this. And so there are admonitions and warnings and instructions that he gives. And a lot of it has to do with the contrast between the way the world lives and the way we're meant to live. Okay? And so let's just begin in the beginning there for the moment and say, do not fret because of those who are evil. Now, fret is a word that conveys the idea of being upset, angry. It's not just, oh, I'm worrying about this. This is somebody who's just really upset. Any of you get upset when you see things that are happening in the world? Well, the Lord says, don't do that. That's to be expected. We can't. It's not like we can fix it. It's not like, oh, God, what's the matter with you? Why don't you do something? Don't worry. Just wait. Everything will all fall into place. The Lord is allowing things to unfold as they will. He is not going to have a family of robots. He's going to have a family, as we've said many times now, of sons and daughters who learn from him and live in this world. Do not fret because of those who are evil. All right? So he's just reckoning on that as a fact. That's just going to be that way. Don't be upset that it's that way. Or be envious of those who do wrong. Now, there's another trap that the enemy can lead people into besides just getting angry about it. You can actually look and see, hey, there's somebody who's not paying any attention. They're not serving the Lord at all. And look at how they're enjoying life and all the stuff they have. Things are great, and here I am struggling, and I'm having trouble in my life. Something's wrong here. And I sort of wish I could be like them. Don't fall for that nonsense. David is looking at it from a perspective, as I say, of somebody who's lived with the Lord a long time. And who recognizes that it's not just the way things are now, but the way they will be. The Lord has revealed where things are headed. We need to live with that knowledge. We need to walk in that reality. And so don't be angry, don't be envious. Why? For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. All right? Sort of reminds me of what happened when the worship leader was at Psalm 73. Said, surely God is good to Israel, but as for me, my feet had well nigh slipped, and they had slipped because he was suddenly looking at the wicked and how well they were getting along and what's wrong, and I'm wasting my time serving God. And he says, then I looked at their end. I stopped to realize. I came into the sanctuary and I realized where they were headed. And oh, it changed everything. Folks, this world, as we've said so many times, as the Lord has said, is headed for a bad end. Every person, every human being is on a road to somewhere. And God wants us on a road that will lead to life. His love reaches out to every one of us, and he reached out through this man. We're told in Scripture that this was a man after God's own heart. Even though he messed up so badly in that one period of his life when he got careless, in spite of that, there was a heart that reached out after the things of God. And so God was able to use him to encourage us. Thousands of years later, we can read his words and realize, hey, this is wisdom. This is something that I need in my life right now. It's not just better information. This is a truth that I need to be walking in. I need to be experiencing the things that he's talking about. And so he begins to give the contrast to the natural reaction to the seeing what's going on in the world. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I better make a comment on that one. Awful easy for the natural man to read that and say, oh boy, here's a formula for having a better life. I can be prosperous. I can have what I want. I just got to find out what he means by delighting in the Lord. I got to be religious. I got to profess Christianity and go to church and practice that. And if I do that just right, God's promised that he's going to give me all the desires of my, and they're talking about earthly desires. If you truly delight in the Lord, what kind of desires are there going to be in your heart? Yeah, we're going to be delighting in what he delights in. We're going to be wanting what he wants. And I'll tell you, God is looking for hearts that want to be in harmony with him, want to be in union with him. And I'll tell you, there are desires that he kindles within. He is faithful, and he's going to fulfill those desires. Praise God. All right? So that's part of the picture. Then he says, these are the scriptures that really stuck out to me. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your way, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. I'll tell you, you almost get the picture here that there are people looking on who are seeing the troubles and the trials and the difficulties that Christians may be going through for a time. And they're looking around at the world and saying, well, they're not serving God and they're doing great. You're a fool. And the Lord's saying, don't worry, I'm going to vindicate. I'm going to show the world the truth of this matter. There's going to come a time when you're the one who's going to be standing there in with my blessing and with my life, and it's not going to end well for them. So don't worry. But in the meantime, what do we do? There's got to be an active trust. This is not just some theoretical, theological thing. This is a daily attitude of our hearts where we are looking to God, trusting in him. All right? Commit. All right? Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, and so forth. And then he talks about refraining from anger. There's a whole lot of things that he's contrasting and teaching us how we need to act and react in this world in which we live in. Every bit of this, by the way, is clearly informed by his own experience, isn't it? This is somebody who's been down some dangerous, difficult ways. Now, one of the words that jumped out at me is the word way. And it's an interesting word. If you trace the original word through the Old Testament, I wouldn't want to take the time to try to take it in every direction it could be taken. But away could be used as, you know, how do you get to Sanford from here? There's a road that you follow. And so it's a literal pathway. It's geographical. But away also refers to how I live. What's the direction of my life? What am I looking for? What kind of a road am I on? You know, a lot of people, they envision earthly success, and they got their five-year plan as to how they're going to achieve the dreams that they have, and they're on a road. This is the focus of my life. This is my way. And so it's the focus and the heart of somebody's life is their way. And, of course, it also ties into the, you know, it's not just what I do, but how I do it. And so you get somebody who maybe has a bad temper, or somebody who is very, very aggressive, or very cruel, or very something. You know, we have this expression about somebody who acts in an odd way. We think it's a different way, and somebody who knows them will stand there, well, it's his way. You know, we know that expression. And what it is somebody's personality has learned how to react and act in a certain way in a certain situation. And so that becomes, this is my personality coming out. This is who I am. This is my identity. Boy, we need help with our ways, don't we? Praise God. So this is used in a lot of ways. And in a way, that word, I'm using the word itself, but in this way, this word is kind of a key, because what David is contrasting is the ways of the world with the way God wants us to go. And so we have a way, we have a road that we are on, but we need to do something with that and not just follow the ways of the world. You know, one of the ways this word was used is in Genesis 6 when the Lord was having to come down in judgment in Noah's day. And one of the things it said was every human being had corrupted his way. They had begun to live with certain values, certain ways that they were doing things and how they sought them. Every bit of it was totally out of harmony with God's purpose. There was a wickedness, a self-centeredness in it. And that's what drives this world. And I'll tell you, that's what's going to bring the world we live in right now down to judgment. It's rapidly happening. It's rapidly coming. And it's real. But God wants us to know, just as he did in David's day, how to navigate that. Now, of course, this was not written to unbelievers, was it? This was written, again, like I said earlier, for the sake of those who are capable of hearing and understanding. And you remember David's son, Solomon, was a man endued by God with great wisdom beyond that of probably anybody in the history of the world, maybe other than Jesus. But there was a wisdom to be able to watch the way people lived and learn from it and gather wisdom that could help other people. And one of the things he said, I think in more than one place, was there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's the world. That's Solomon's looking at the world and saying, you know, a lot of people think they're on a good track. They're living for things that appeal to them, that make sense in this world, you know, earthly success and what we can gain out of it. All that seems like it's so important. So I got to learn how to do that. I've got to engage the abilities that I was born with to make that happen. That's my life. That's my way. It seems right. If you just look at the world and how it operates, those things seem right. But where do they lead? That's the warning that God has for us to learn from. It leads to death, doesn't it? There's an interesting, I'm just going to have to quote these. I didn't make a note where I could turn to all of them, but there is a scripture in Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived in a challenging time, didn't he? He was called to prophesy during the period of time when Israel had to be judged. They've persistently refused to hear God's warnings of coming judgment, and Babylon was a great empire. They came in and successively, about three different attacks, they destroyed the nation. Here he was trying to uphold the things of God. Do you think maybe he felt his own need? Yeah. There's one time where he prayed to God. He said, I know, oh God, that the way of man is not in himself. That's quite a revelation, isn't it? That means the ability to chart our own course in life doesn't exist in us. We're born into this broken world, the world that follows its own inclinations. I need help. If I don't get help from somebody other than me, I'm going to make a mess. I need God to lead me and to help me. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. That's the reality that we're living in. I don't care all the abilities that we were born with in this world. We do not have the ability to chart our course in a way that leads to a good end. We need God. Thank God for his faithfulness in reaching out in such mercy and love to his people. You know, this was not a king, David's the king, who was serving this evil master in the sky just to get by. This was somebody who had learned to love the Lord, learned to rejoice in him, learned to see him as a loving heavenly father. Praise God. And there was a heart that had this hunger to know him. Praise God. You remember, you know, sit down and read sometime again. Psalm, was it 139? Where David is just exulting in the fact, just mulling over the fact that, God, you know everything about me. You know when I lie down, when I get up. You know every thought that's in my head. You knew all the elements that make up this physical body when they were just in the ground somewhere, and somehow they all wound up in my mother's womb, and you were there, and you brought me out. Amazing God you are. Not only that, I can't go anywhere where you aren't. And it's not just that you're some great being, but you're thinking about me. You're thinking about me. That's amazing. And your thoughts toward me are more than the grains of sand by the sea? Give me a break. That's incredible. Oh, David just felt drawn to this one who had this incredible sense of love and mercy toward him. And so at the end, he's, you know, it didn't fill him with a fear. Oh, my God, I've got to measure up. This was, oh, God, search me. He's not trying to hide. He knows he can't. Wouldn't that be good for us to remember? We can't hide. Who are we kidding? We need to be able to say like David, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me. That's a hard one to pray, isn't it? Try me. we have enough trials. But he's praying, said, oh God, I want to know you so well. I need you to test me. I need you to try me. And know my anxious thoughts. And do what? Lead me in the way everlasting. David was recognizing that I think he talks about his own, lest there be any evil way in me. I think I missed that phrase. Lest there be any evil way in me. David is recognizing, no doubt that was well on into his life as well. He's recognizing that, you know, even now, boy, did that come out this morning in our men's meeting. Even now, there could be something in me that just isn't like you and isn't right. I want you to search that out. I want you to help me to get rid of that, to overcome it, to just find my way into your way, Lord. Help me. I need you, oh God. Lord, I'm just trusting in you to open the way before me because I can't do this. And that sense, well, that was expressed so clearly this morning, that sense that God is going to bring us to a place of dependence. We just don't like that. You talk about something that is contrary to human nature. For me to have to depend upon God, to get up in the morning and say, God, I don't know what to do. I need you. And my ways of handling life. How many things are that happen in my life and my natural reaction is anger. Ooh. And of course, that wouldn't apply to anybody here, right? But that's just one example of many. Or we have resentment or jealousy, or we get offended by this or all those things. Every one of those things, by the way, is a choice that we make to agree with our old nature. It's the reason Jesus went to the cross, so that he could deliver us, not just from the stuff we've done, but for the guy that's done it. That's the deliverance I need. I need God to search me. You know how we react to things that happen in our lives when we fall flat in the mud? That is, we fail in some respect spiritually. We just go right ahead and we make a mess. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a necessary thing many times. Because we will go along in the delusion that we are okay if God doesn't let stuff happen that reminds us. We've used the example of Peter so many times. Peter, I'll never do this, and he did it the same night or the next morning. But God is so faithful to show us the things that we need. But I want to have the same kind of heart that David did, don't you? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Isn't that what God is encouraging through these scriptures? I love you. I care about you. I think about you constantly. I want you to think about me more. And I want you to recognize your need. But I want you to give that to me, to learn how to trust me in all of these things, that these courses that you have to deal with in your life. Now, one of the interesting words, and I think this is typically translated this way, is the word commit. Commit your way to the Lord, David says back in Psalm 37. Commit. That word is interesting. Almost all of the uses of that word has to do with rolling something like a stone. If I had a big stone and it was here and it needed to be there, I would commit it. I would roll it. That's the word that's used. It's as though there's something heavy that needs to not be where it's at. It needs to be somewhere else. Do you kind of get a picture of what the Lord might be saying here? Anybody here? It's kind of a hard way right now. I won't ask you to raise your hand. But life is kind of hard. There are things going on. They're weighing on you, weighing on me. And God wants us to understand that's kind of the way it is in this world. There's stuff that's going to weigh on us that we need to learn what to do with it. God's not wanting us to carry that in just to labor under that. Oh, God, I got to handle this somehow. I've got to figure it out. I've got to make my way. I've got to make this happen. Oh, God, that's a horrible way to live. What did Jesus say to those who were heavy and burdened? Come to me. Learn from me. My burden is light. I'm not quoting it very well. That's all right. Just don't get old. But you remember the scripture about how we need to come to Jesus and we'll discover a different way. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he said. Boy, I need this. You know, it's just interesting to me, and it shouldn't surprise me at all, is how many times the Lord is having to really let me go through stuff to get what I'm talking about. So it isn't just a lecture. This is something I'm going through. There's stuff that I'm going through where I need what I'm talking about. So how can I talk about it? Well, you ask the Lord about that. He uses us to help one another, doesn't he? We're far from perfect, but we could lift up the one who is. We can point to him and say, in weakness, I am strong. But think about what he's saying here. I've got this stuff that I got to do. I'm facing this. I'm facing that. I got to make decisions. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And it's weighing on me. What do I need to do? I need to roll that off. I'm not supposed to be carrying that just on and on and on. I've got to roll this onto the Lord. Can he handle it? I guess so. He's handling the universe. He keeps trillions of stars in their orbit. I guess he can handle our little problems in our little way. But the Lord recognizes that we're everyone on a road to somewhere. Sometimes we want to get off this way or get off that way, but every one of us has a course that we're walking. We got stuff we're going through. We got decisions and choices that we face. We have stuff that happens that we don't anticipate. We don't know what's coming. You don't know what a day may bring forth. I'm glad we know somebody who does. He knows exactly everything that's going to happen. And so what do I need to do when I get up in the morning? Oh, God, this is what I got to do. I got to make a plan. No, I said, Lord, here. I'm rolling this off on you. You told me to roll it on you. So that's what I'm going to do. This has got to be a daily way of life. You know, I see it in a sense that, you know, when we get this revelation, we can start to do that, but it needs to be, because burdens are going to hit us. It needs to become a way of life. That whenever I feel the weight of something that has to do with my way and the road that I'm on, I've got to cast it upon him. Doesn't he say that about burdens and anxieties? Yeah, cast them on the Lord, and he'll sustain you. Commit it to him and all of those things. You get this same sense always of this dependence, but also the faithfulness of the Lord. It's not just, what's the matter with you? You're doing it wrong kind of stuff. This is God. I've called you to a life of dependence on me. I can make you what you cannot do for yourself. I can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. But you're going to have to learn. Don't live like the people of the world. Don't let the enemy take advantage of your weaknesses to fill you with anxiety and fear and self-effort and pride and all the things that beset every single one of us, folks. We've heard all these things over the years, haven't we? There's nothing I'm saying that's new. Is there anybody who's nailed all of this? Who doesn't need to hear it anymore? Oh, you've got it all figured out. You just got it nailed. Well, I haven't either. And so that's why the Lord has to give it to us. We need the manna daily. Remember what the Lord said in Deuteronomy 8, was it? Remember what? The way the Lord led you through the wilderness these 40 years. And how he, you know, fed you with manna, which you didn't know, and all of that. What was the point of all of this? That you may know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's an immediacy of that. God wants to talk to us. God wants to lead us. God wants us to have a relationship where we can roll everything over onto him, and it's his now. Now, that doesn't mean just stand there. I mean, it never moves. We never let go. God wants us to hand things off to him and come to a place of what he says next. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll it over on him, and then do what? Trust in him. Trust is an attitude. It's faith in action. It means now I am in a place where I'm not weighed down by this decision or this whatever I'm going through, where's my road, what's on my road right now, or what might happen. Oh, God. You know, I thought of an old thing that Brother Thomas used to say one time. You know, Jesus talked about the sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Stuff's going to happen. And there's no point worrying about all the stuff that may happen. Today's enough. Just deal with that. Learn how to handle it off. Hand it off to the Lord. And of course, the story Brother Thomas used to tell was about a young woman who was considering marriage to a young man she loved, and he had proposed, but she had a problem. He loved potatoes. And if there was one thing above all else that she hated, it was peeling potatoes. And so she's wrestling with this. And all, in her mind, all she can see is this mountain of potatoes in her future. Oh, God, I can't handle this. This is, what am I going to do? This just isn't, you know, anyway, you get the point. And somebody finally gave her a little bit of wisdom and said, sufficient unto the day are the potatoes thereof. That's good wisdom for all of us in all of the issues of our day. There are so many burdens that we carry that God doesn't want us to carry. He is well able to handle them, and He loves us, and He's concerned about everything. You know, my Bible reading is taking me through some stuff that you kind of got to wade through. The design of the tabernacle in the wilderness, boy, the detail is incredible. Every little detail is just laid down and then repeated and repeated and repeated. And you, oh, my God, it had to be done just so. But you know one thing that stuck out to me as I read was how God has attended to details. He knows how many hairs are on your head, remember? And the ones you don't have anymore. This is a God. I mean, think about what David said. Your thoughts toward me are more than the grains of sand by the sea. God is absolutely interested in every detail of your life. That's how much He cares about you and about me. We're the ones who just wring our hands and look at it and think about it and worry about it and listen to the voices of the world and look at what they're doing and get jealous and a thousand and one things that distract us from the simplicity of just coming to this place where everything that happens in our lives, every course that we walk, we learn how to give it to Him. And the weight of it isn't on us anymore. And then we don't just, okay, I did that. There's an ongoing attitude, Lord, I'm trusting in You. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know how I can do this. But Lord, You promised that in my weakness is Your strength. Your strength will be made known. And You're going to help me to handle it. You know, I don't remember the details now, but I remember a story that Brother Jim Petrie, is it? Told us one time in Florida. And he was pretty much a handyman in a lot of ways, but there was something he was trying to do in his house, something he was trying to fix one day. And it just didn't make sense. And he couldn't figure out a way to do it. It just didn't make any sense at all. And he finally just stopped and said, Lord, show me how to do this, basically. You know, I'm just asking You for wisdom and help. And the Lord it just came right to his mind exactly how he needed to do it. Do you know God is that interested in you? How many stories have I heard about somebody who lost their keys and they prayed and said, Lord, show me where my keys are? And they found them? You know, that's not some push-button formula, but there's a heart that when we genuinely reach out to God and there is a genuine need, God is faithful. God wants to take you through the things that you don't even think are that important. He cares about every detail of your lives. And He wants to bring us to a place of greater trust in Him. Commit, roll your way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will do this. And this is where you get the contrast with where the world is headed. God wants to lead us on the way, what David described in that other scripture as the way everlasting. There's a way that just doesn't get us through the world. Help us to muddle through and get our, you know, acquire this and achieve that and have people think well of us or whatever the values of the world are and then somehow make it to the end. The way everlasting, it doesn't have an end. God has a road that He's calling people to walk, that He has laid out, and He wants us to learn how to walk on His road and not ours. He's got a plan and a purpose for every single life, and He wants us to love it and to want it and to seek it with all of our hearts and have God change not just what we do, but how and why we do it, all of those things. He wants our ways to be like His ways. He wants the way in which we walk to be His way. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? Do you want it? Do you want it enough to let go, when He says, let go of this and let go of that. This isn't the way You know, one of the prophecies of Scripture had to do with the remnant and how God was going to deal with them. Said, "You will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk ye in it.'" So many scriptures that use that interesting word. But I'll tell you, we've got a God who longs to help and longs to encourage you today. Where are you at? What's going on? What way lies before you? What anxieties, you know, are you wrestling with? Oh, God, give us the grace to get up in the morning, as I said recently, and just hand our day over to the Lord and say, "You direct my path." Doesn't Hebrews 12 tell us to walk with patience, run with patience the way set before us? God has set a way before us, and He wants us to go that way. But that means a moment by moment looking to Him and saying, "Lord, I am trusting in You. I can't do this. But You are well aware of the fact that I can't do it. I'm the one that doesn't always get that. And You're more than willing to give me the strength that I don't have so that I can become the person You designed me to be. I want Your will and not mine. And so I surrender." Again, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this and so forth. That He's going to vindicate that path that you're on. But then He says, "Be still before the Lord." That's something when you think about that. Be quiet. Let the noise in your head just go away. Be still. Stop being anxious and angry and all the human emotions that want to get in there. Just say, "Lord, You've got me in a place where I can experience Your peace. I can just be still because I know You're on the throne. I know You love me. I know You care." Do you know that? You know, we know what the Word says, and I've used this expression in the past. Far too many people have, you know, we have the NIV and the ESV and the NLT and all these different versions, but far too many people have the EBM version. You know what that is? Everyone but me. Here's what it is, I can tell you. But it really doesn't apply to me because, oh, God wants us to take His word personally. What good is it if we don't? What good is it if we just assert all these things but they don't make a difference in our lives? God wants us to learn how to rest and trust and be still. As He says in another psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." Okay? All these, the wisdom that you see in David's life. Praise God. Wait patiently for Him. You know, Joel emphasized that word wait recently. And it's right. There's a time when we're going to have to stand still and look to the Lord and know that He's got a schedule that is right. We're going to be in times when it's tough for us and the people of the world who aren't serving God. It's going to look like they're doing great. Be patient. Wait. Look to the Lord. That's where faith really gets tested. That's where faith gets tried. Boy, how many times do we see in Scripture how the Lord has encouraged someone? Someone quoted a Scripture that I had thought about. And you remember the experience of the servant of Abraham? Abraham was concerned about his son Isaac and realizing that they're going to have to carry on the line, he was going to need a wife. Well, he didn't want him to get a wife from among the heathen people among whom they lived, and so he got his servant. And he said, don't let him marry anybody here. Go back to my people and find a wife. And swear you're going to do it. I mean, he made him take an oath. Well, he did it, but interestingly enough, that servant knew enough to say, "I don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh God, lead me. Lord, show me the answer to this thing." And his testimony at the end was, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to my master's household." God was faithful to lead him in the way. Wouldn't it be nice if we could commit our way to the Lord? and not sit there and try to make it happen and worry about what's going to happen. God is going to is putting every one of us in places right now where we don't have the answer, we don't have the ability. And that's not a bad thing. Because he doesn't want us to learn the mechanics of being Christians so that we don't need him anymore. It's learning more and more how helpless and how needy we are and how faithful and how wonderful he is and how much he wants to be real to us. Enjoy his love and his peace. He's thinking about us all the time. We need to be thinking about him more. Oh, how faithful and wonderful he is. And of course, you see in David's life so many times where he went through hard, difficult places. How long, O Lord? In Psalm, whatever it is, 13. Oh God, I'm in a dark place and everybody's against me and circumstances against me and I can't even hear your voice. What's going on? But God was faithful. And this was written long after that. And this was written, I believe, after the matter with Bathsheba when David really went sideways. He got careless. I think maybe he got to a point where he thought he had it nailed. He thought, I've learned all about serving God and I know how it works and it's good. We got the worship team going. We got everything just like it's supposed to be. I can just sit back and relax. And next thing you know, he was falling into terrible sin and was so blind that he didn't even realize what he'd done. But I'll tell you what really shows the kind of heart that he had is when the prophet came and said, "Thou art the man." And instead of saying off with his head, he said, oh God, I repent. And there was the greatest example of repentance in history was right there when a man after God's own heart repented and God became real to him again. God cleansed him. God was faithful. One of the things he said was, after you do what I need you to do, cleanse me, Lord, and then I'll teach sinners your way. He realized he wasn't in a position to do that where he was, but he wanted to be in that position where I can help somebody else. That goes to what we talked about last week. But I mean, you can go on and on with this, but what a simple principle that God would have us to understand. Like I say, has anybody here just got this all handled, you know all about this, and this is no problem to you? I don't believe there's anybody that could say that. That's why we need it. We need God to speak this right now to us where we are at on our way, on our journey. Every one of us is in a place where we need God to show himself to us and to bring us again to that place of greater dependence upon him, greater trust, greater rest. All those things are things that he desires to give us that we might know his love, his joy, his peace. Praise God. It's not that he demands more and more. He wants us to surrender more and more. Because it's not me, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's no longer I that lives, but him that lives in me. May God give us the grace. May God give me the grace. Because I certainly am feeling my need. And I have every reason to say, oh God, why in the world did you ask me to get up here this morning? I'm the last person that needs to be talking about this. I need you. Oh God, I'm weak. I mess up. And I worry about this and I worry about that. Oh God, help me. Chart out my course, but make me willing, Lord, to look to you at every moment and to believe you, to trust. Let that be the defining characteristic of my life. Lord, I don't have the answers, but I am trusting in you actively right now. I'm resting on the promise that you will be with me in all these things. You are faithful. I believe you, Lord, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, if we're carrying the burden of everything in the wrong sense, I mean, I know there are things that we do. We're not just carried along on a nice little chair. But in our doing, there's again, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, right? There's no things to do, but the spirit in which we do them is not one of self-effort and striving. But if we're still striving, if we're still anxious and still worried about it, are we trusting? Boy, it got quiet. You see how they're not, they don't go together. I'm either trusting or I'm striving and worrying. And you know, one of the things we have to learn as we go is even when it comes to the ability to trust God, where do you get that? I get that from Him too. I need everything. Well, is there anything He is not willing to give me if I really am looking to Him to do it for His purposes? Is He unwilling to help me? Oh, He's willing. That's the thing He longs to do. He's got everything that I need to become all that He has designed me to be. And He wants me to walk with Him and learn from Him and handle the path that He designs for me. That's my way. To make that His way. Lord, guide me into the path of Your choice. Let my way be Your way. And let me just walk with this spirit and this attitude of trust and know that You're going to bring me to a good end. It's an everlasting end. It doesn't end with this world. This world is going to burn up and the people that are in it, you know, how often do we see, you know, so-and-so just died. They lived a long life and they achieved this and achieved that and now they're dead and gone. Praise God. Every one of us, if the Lord doesn't come, you know, if the Lord doesn't come first, we're all going to pass from this life. And I'll tell you, there's a part of us that Jesus Christ has brought forth because of the cross and the resurrection that doesn't die. That for us is graduation. I don't have to live in this crazy body anymore. All the things that are wrong with it, I get to be set free from that. And my destiny is forever. All because of Him. To Him be the glory, to Him be the praise. Wouldn't it be good if we learn how to take that big stone that we're carrying and learn how to roll it over onto Him and say, all right, you handle this, Lord. I'm tired of carrying this one. And I'm trusting in You. And I'm going to be still. And I'm just going to look to You. And I know that You're faithful. Again, there's nothing new I've said this morning, but does anybody here need any of this? Yeah, I'll put up both hands. But God is faithful. God loves every one of you. He's concerned with the smallest detail in your life. There's nothing that He's not concerned about that He doesn't know about. He just wants us to be looking to Him more than we do. And He is going to prove Himself faithful. Praise God.